on with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him, you got it, I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
And as always, check out yakangler.com for all of the latest details on the boondoggle or our Facebook page there on Facebook for Kayak Fishing Radio, the President's Day Boondoggle Facebook page. If you plan on attending, let us know. I am your host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, or this week's. I don't know how many shows will be live, but Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck, like to send out a very heartfelt Merry Christmas to everybody who listens to our shows, to you too, their tree hugger. And
I'm back.
And you know, I hope everyone's having a great time on this lovely Christmas Eve night. I know we are down here in Central Florida. It's beautiful outside right now. Going to do a
Ahead and talk about the good weather.
Yeah, the weather's amazing, by the way. It's probably, I don't know, 62 degrees outside right now. And it should drop down about into the, maybe in the 50s tonight. It was downright cold a couple days ago. Get down in the 30s, but high today was in the 70s, high to mid-70s. So tomorrow, I think Christmas, we're looking at another short sleeve shirt and board shorts type of Christmas, unfortunately. I was hoping for some cooler weather, but the fishing's been good down here in good old Central Florida. It's
been ready to catch the dogs here all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're saying we're probably going to be in tornado warnings all day tomorrow. So.
Oh, jeez.
We'll open up our presents in the tornado shelter.
Down the golf ball on the ground.
Yeah.
See, Lenny's there in the chat room like a trooper. Appreciate it, brother. Yeah. Working on some Christmas cookies with the kiddies. And he's right. The weather's been nice. Be outside with the smoker all day. Well, what are you smoking up, man? Some duck breasts or something? Yeah, it's been killing it lately. But, yeah, fishing around here in Central Florida has been great. Some of the guys are brave or dumb, whichever way you look at it. They went out in the 30-some-odd degree weather first thing in the morning the other day to get on the water and start looking for some fish. They came across a bunch of them towards the warmer part of the day, lots of tails. So no motor zone's been pretty decent. The Mosquito Lagoon's been pretty decent. The Indian River's been good. Everything's been pretty solid. Hopefully everyone gets cool new fishing gear and maybe a couple of kayaks. I know we sent four kayaks out today at a kayak expo.
Did you put some Kayak Fishing Radio stickers in with them?
I'm all out, man.
Dang.
I'm waiting to get some more done. I need to get some more done, but trust me, everybody that comes in, they don't get to walk away without me making sure they either have an Android or an iPhone. They have to download the app while standing there.
Download the app so I can show you how to work it.
yeah, exactly. Or we charge them an extra 10% for those. And as Lenny says, yeah, fishing rods, Lenny. If you guys, listen, there's going to be a lot of people out there who are going to get gift cards, Visa gift cards, whatever, because people are going to know what to buy for you. There's going to be folks that are going to get cash money for Christmas. Give Lenny a holler. Let Lenny build you a couple of rods, man. The guy does great work.
I wish he'd just finish the ones I've got on my wrapper right now.
come on up. Hey, Lenny, why don't you drive on up to Georgia? You know, he'll get you some sweet water. You just finish those up for him. That'd be great.
That's right.
That's awesome.
I got like three of them in various stages of construction, so I want to get them done before the boondoggle. I might be able to do that. It's, what, 6 weeks away? 8 weeks away
right
now?
Yeah. Jeff and I were at Bass Pro Shops yesterday and looking at tents.
Yeah.
So I haven't bought a tent yet, so we need to figure that out. But, man, there were some nice ones there, boy. There were some there that had, like, three rooms. One was a screen room. You can, like, make a bedroom out of one and, like, you know, another room out of another. It was pretty sweet, but I don't know.
I tell you, you're gonna need the one with the no-see-em netting on it.
I'm telling you. The no-see-ems in the Mosquito Lagoon right now are ridiculous. They weren't bad at Cars Park the last few times I've been there. In fact, I don't think I got bit by anything the last few times I've been at Cars Park.
Yeah.
But, man, there's a plethora of no-see-ems that have taken the place of the fallen mosquitoes.
There's a bad backcast full of them, huh?
Dude, it's bad. It's really bad. But, did you know, because I didn't know, did you know that there's a fishing pond at Cars Park?
A fishing pond?
Yep, there's a freshwater pond apparently somewhere on the property of Cars Park. It's for kids to fish in, catch and release only.
Really?
Yep.
We need to ID that when you go out there next time, figure out what it is, and take your boys out there and see what's in it, see if it's a good...
It's another option of things to do.
Yeah, we could have a little kid tournament.
Ah, I like it. What do you think, sir?
I'm all about the kids, man. I mean, some of the professional organizations that I've belonged to in my last years, I've always been disappointed in the fact that they make a lot of to-do about their current, you know, members and all that kind of stuff and the old members and all. But unless you get new members, which comes from the youngsters, you're never going to keep it going, you know. So we got to make sure that we encourage and educate and teach our kids how to fish and teach them how to love the environment.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a couple of fishing clubs, rather large fishing clubs here in Central Florida, and the last meeting I went to, it was like I thought I walked into a bingo hall or a bridge class or whatever you want to call it, where, man, it was like senior citizen galore. And just a few short years ago, it was families and it was kids and it was young people, and there's old timers were there too, but man, it was just it was pretty bad as far as the representation of kids.
And, no.
But you know, we'll figure it out. We'll definitely get the kids involved at this boondoggle, and me and Jess are both looking forward to it for sure.
Maybe we get a big wagon, you know, and some hay bales and stuff, you know, and then we can get a lawnmower or something and pull them around over to the pond and stuff, you know.
That's not a bad idea. I bet you we could probably work that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so let's see. Steve Chapman joined us in the chat room.
I see Steve Chapman there from Fishing Florida Radio.
That guy's a man.
He's just a crazy guy.
He is a crazy guy. Oh, so my orca.
I want to be like Steve when I grow up. You know, have my own fishing show and everything.
I told Steve that too. I told him, like, Steve, you're my idol. And he goes, I'm nobody's idol. I just like what I do. Okay. But, Tuesday, my birthday was great. Got to go fishing and have a good time and spend a whole lot of time out there. And man, I got back from fishing and my brand new 75 quart Orca cooler was sitting in the driveway waiting on me.
Oh yeah. Rub it in.
Oh, what a cooler. I was so happy, man. I was like, that's the icing on the cake right there. Like, what a freaking awesome day. Caught a bunch of fish. Had a lot of fun, explored some new territory. and come home and got a brand new toy. So Trey is currently outside, but Trey is getting himself his first ever piece of plastic.
Whoa. All right.
Yeah. I got to tell the story because it's pretty awesome.
Cool.
There's some friends of Tom and Lynn's who own Kikes Webo who I've met once at their grand opening. And we sat down and we talked. And we were just shooting the crap, talking. You know, talking about family, talking about the kids, talking about fishing, talking about species, whatever, whatever. Well, a couple weeks ago, they contact Tom and Lynn, and they're like, hey, you know, why don't you order one of them little kayaks that Old Town makes called the Heron Jr., which is basically it's a sitting side.
Right.
It's got a little seat in it, you know, like a little molded seat, little padding on it, but it's got a tow package on the nose of it. So you can, you know, tow it around behind your kayak.
Cool.
And they're like, hey, you know, why don't you order one of those? And we want to do that for Chuck's boy for Christmas. I'm like, wow. I mean, what do you say to that? Like,
thanks.
Yeah. Man. I mean, it was just such a beautiful gesture by, you know, a very, very lovely couple who, you know, just felt, you know, I guess, felt like that was something that they wanted to do for Christmas. And for me and my wife, we can't express in enough gratitude what that means to us and how awesome it's going to be to see him when he sees the thing in the morning, because he already saw what one of them looks like because he came up to the shop and one of them was there. And he freaked out. And he's like, it's just my size. So it'll be really, really cool. But, and he has no clue that that's happening, so that's awesome. But, yeah, so that's that, man. Man, that's like the coolest part of my Christmas. I got to tell you that, like, right now.
That's awesome, man.
It is awesome, man, you know, and I don't know. I can't express in enough words what this year has been like for Jess and I. And, you know, we've gone through a lot together and on a personal level. You know, there's a light now at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. Things are looking good for 2013, and I'm excited to see 2012 gone.
Yeah.
So
you know, there was a movie not too long ago, and the guy says, don't worry, everything's going to be all right. And if it's not all right, that means it's not done yet, you know. It'll all be right in the end, but it's not the end. So
yeah,
it's cool,
you know,
man.
I mean,
We got everybody, all of our Boondoggler friends and our Kayak Fishing Radio friends, our Fishing Florida Radio friends, and whoever needs a shoulder, man, we got one for them, right?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Steve's asking how Logan's doing. Logan's good, man. He's a happy baby. That's all I can say about that. I mean, he is a happy child. We've been blessed with the folks that do his therapy, the Early Steps organization. They moved us over to a new location to do his physical therapy on Thursdays, and there's more. The physical therapist has more tools to her, use to work on developing some muscle tone in his core and all that kind of thing. So we're seeing some improvements already. His speech therapist is working wonders. You know, it's blessed, man. Being besides all that.
It's awesome, yeah, man.
It is.
It's
yeah,
all
besides
good.
All the, besides all the mitochondrial stuff and whatever else, we're blessed because he's healthy. You know, as healthy as he's going to be. You know, we're all happy, healthy. Happy, 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 happy.
Happy. They're good.
Yeah. But, so what you got, man, underneath the tree? Anything yet? You big plans? You expecting anything? You hoping for anything? What's up?
I just, at this point, I like, you know, my birthday wish is that I get another one. My Christmas wish is that I get another one. you know, that I can afford another one. But, no, it's cool, man. I mean, our Christmas present this year was our, you know, our soon to be just, you know, shown up at the next boondoggle, our kayak fishing radio RV. So we've still got to go up and get that. The weather hasn't been cooperating. And so we're waiting on taking a trip up to pick that thing up and bring it back home. So, but, there's some stuff, some cool stuff for the clone, you know. So he's in the next room, so I'm not going to divulge anything. He might be he might be listening.
That's
in
it.
On the app.
Yeah, on the app.
That's right.
Cool. We're actually talking about that, me and Jess. We're talking about maybe next year, maybe the year following, to try and do like a pop-up or something like that as the family Christmas gift.
Yeah.
Trailer or something like that, so it would make boondoggling that much easier.
Because there are many more to come.
Gosh knows that's the truth. But you know, looking back on this year, I'll make this show that, because I don't think we'll have another show until the first, right?
That's it. Second. Man,
yeah.
Well, you're gonna be New Year's Eve.
Oh yeah.
Don't go getting so sentimental, man. You're the new, you're Christmas Eve man this year. You're New Year's Eve man next week. So,
sweet. Tune in for sure next week because that will be entertaining.
Maybe we'll have to go back through the shows, see if we can get Matt to pick up some of the funny stuff. You know, like the meat rod episode and some of the other ones that we can do a best of on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Let's see. Looking back at 2012, man, I got to say that the fishing was spectacular. I made a lot of new friends in the industry. I pretty much have solidified my favorite, I mean, my best relationship I think I made in 2012 in this industry was with Jackson. Actually, did in 2011, but like, really kind of, you know, nailed that thing down the beginning part of the year. And it was, you know, the boondoggle down in Chokoloskee was amazing. I had a great time. The boondoggle up in Virginia Beach was awesome. Getting to go on Fishing Florida Radio, you know, that one time there this past year was killer. Very fortunate, man, to be able to enjoy a lot of things, going to ICAST and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Were I on twice? No, it's only on once, I think this past year, but it doesn't matter, Steve. I call the show. maybe 2013 I'll get in there maybe once or twice. But, yeah, but looking forward to 2013, man. I'm really, really excited about I'm really excited about the upcoming boondoggle and meeting a lot of new faces, if that makes sense. Because we see all these people's names on Facebook and you see their pictures and all this kind of thing. Get hosted during the boondoggle if we come out live. Sweet. I like that, Steve. See if we can make that happen. I'm sure we got some resources out there that make things easy for you. But anyhow, yeah, I'm interested to see where our later year boondoggle will be. It's crazy to even think about something like that now, but
I think we might try some mini ones.
Cardboard cutout?
Yeah. He says if they come out live, I thought, well, maybe they'll send the cardboard cutouts of themselves or something.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, I think maybe we're going to do some mini doggles, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been getting some emails lately from folks that do the low-sodium kayak fishing, you know? And so I think maybe we might try something. I need to take a trip up to Chicago this summer, so maybe we'll fish Lake Michigan. That's
wow,
big ass piece of water of low sodium up there.
That so, is an ocean. There.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know. I think maybe it'd be interesting to go up and see what kind of. We're gonna go in the summer, Steve. But I like me some lake perch now, man. You know. So,
hell yeah. I can go for some walleye.
Yeah, some walleye, man. Walleye, something like that.
Fish. Yeah.
Steelhead, yeah. So,
always cold.
I know, right? We had a guy, and when I was in the Marine Corps, and we were stationed at Camp Lejeune, and he was from up on the lake. He was, well, I think he was up on the other side of the lake, but we went to water in Florida one time, and he's like, man, this is like bath water down here.
That's funny.
Swimming up in that lake all the time, yeah. So, but, yeah, it might be interesting to take a trip up there. Got to go up there this summer anyway, so I'm thinking it might be cool to go up and see what kind of kayak turnout we can have, little mini doggle up there. Yeah, so try that. We
have a mini doggle coming up right after this doggle down in down in the Everglades.
Yeah, we're gonna show up in force with the Merry Christmas, Melita.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Melita. I hope everything goes well for you this week, this next couple days, and have a very, very, very safe New Year's. Look forward
great
to talking to you soon.
But we're gonna show up at the Adventure Fishing World Championship. Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
So we've got at least 3 kayak fishing radio teams ready to rock. We've got Team Tree Hugger, got Team Redfish Chuck, and Team Double L. So we'll see if we.
Yeah. I think I have 2 more teams out of my Space Coast Kayaking Club guys that are going to go.
Sweet.
And there may be a few more as well that are going on. I know Lenny was looking to hook up with somebody to make a team. I don't know if he ever did or not, but that's going to be a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun.
It's going to be fun to see somebody get lost.
Yeah.
It could be interesting, right?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, look at that.
Awkward pause there.
Yeah, I got apparently some super sweet inside information from other than Tim Borski from my way, who fishes down there all the time.
All right.
But, yeah, that's going to be awesome. Looking forward to Trey doing more fishing with me this upcoming year. Definitely want to try and get him on some more fish. And, man, it's going to be a good time. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I definitely think we should do some mini boondoggles, man. I think we'll, I know Jess and I want to get back up to North Carolina, South Carolina a little bit.
Yeah.
Dan and Holly have been asking us to come back up there to go to Edisto and, dying to get back out there. Dude, did you hear the story about the pond in Edisto Island, across from Japan's parents' place?
No, go ahead. Tell me about it.
There is a pond, like literally, like a pond, across the street, back up in the woods. You can see it from the second floor window of his parents' place.
Right.
And it is chock full of redfish, flounder, trout, all kinds of stuff.
But it's a pond.
It's a pond. Apparently there's like a culvert or two that lead into it. But we drove past where they walk into it, and it's pretty far removed from Mike Land.
Oh.
And Stan and Holly go over there all the time. They walk back up in there in the mud and stuff, and they catch redfish all the time back in that pond. She lost.
That must be
pond.
that one picture she's got of her with that big red.
Yeah, and the video. Did you see the video where she lost a fish and went on a cursing spree?
No, I didn't see that one.
Are you kidding me? You're gonna have to text Stan and have him send it to you, because that is, it's epic. I think we even included that into the sizzle reel that we put together for Animal Planet. But yeah, it's should be good. Oh, look at that. Steve Chapman caught his first shad of the season. Sweet. Can't wait to get out there and do some of that this year. Shad fishing. Yeah, there's some fish on my bucket list I want to try and cross off this year.
Right.
You know, some things I want to try and accomplish. I want to see if at some point me and Jess can make it down to the Keys and I can get a bonefish finally on fly. That would be great. That would make me really happy. If I could do it out of a kayak, that would be even cooler. But,
right.
You know, I'd be willing to walk if I have to. But that's pretty much it, man. Super excited about tomorrow morning. That's the cool thing about being a parent of
right.
the one is that, I mean, it's I can care less about the present side of things for me. It was so much fun buying gifts for Trey and for Logan, and you know, getting ready to watch them just shred in the paper and. Oh my God, I've always wanted one. You know, that crazy excitement that you remember from being a kid. It's that's what it's all about. Wendy's asking, where's Chad? Me and Chad had a bit of a misunderstanding of dates. So, and I don't think Chad realizes what next Monday is. So I don't know if we'll get him on the show for New Year's Eve, but I'm going to try. If not, it'll be the following week, but no big deal. No big whoop. They say.
He does show up on New Year's Eve, it'd be his silly cousin, right?
Yeah. Well, let's see. It's Steve. Ask Mike if you can't use his house down there. You only need to pay for the house cleaning, and it's right in prime bonefish waters.
Yeah. That sounds cool.
I will be talking to Captain Mike Ortego here shortly. $80. Done.
Jeez.
Mini boondoggle at Mike's house. Let's do it. I think it'll be the Gibson and Levi family outing.
I'm telling you, man, once I get the RV set, I got my house wherever I go and my motorcycle. I'm good.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. Yeah, me and that's the other thing too, man. I can't wait to fish with Mike and Steve this year. I haven't had the pleasure of wedding line with either one of those gentlemen, so look forward to that. And yeah, should be good, man. It's going to be a good year, you know. No matter what happens in the news or anything else, you know, as long as you live your life to the fullest and you appreciate the things you have around you, life's good.
That's right.
You know,
Black so. Dog Rides is out. Santa's on his way.
Oh, gotcha, brother. Lenny, take it easy, man. I can't wait to get my hands on one of them fancy rods. Oh, you better be building some rods for the shop, by the way, Lenny. I had to turn people away today because we don't sell fishing rods yet. We got big things coming to Kayaks by Bo for 2013. It would appear that things are getting closer and closer to being finalized for the Man Cave / Fishing Tackle Store.
Sweet.
That will be attached to Kayaks by Bo. Where we will carry all the things that you need, not a bunch of extra stuff to fill up the walls. What Lenny's saying? Funny story. I almost talked about hunting with coastal sportsmen on Sunday. No, it's not really funny.
No, it didn't sound that funny.
Crazy wind. Wow. Were you on an airboat, Lenny, or are you on your duck boat?
Steve's crazy. Like, oh, you were talking to them on Fish and Floater Radio?
Yeah, probably. You know, you shouldn't be boating and driving at the same time. It's like driving and talking.
Yeah.
It's my boat. Boating and talking, whatever. My mud boat.
Right.
Sucks. But anyway, cool. Well, that's all I got, Chip.
That's enough, man.
Yeah, I'm going to play the rest. I'm just going to hit the button for my show. Is that still cool?
Yeah, I think it'll probably, you got it set up for, yeah, there's enough time. It'll just play on out. So your first show ever.
My first show ever as my own host here on Kayak Fishing Radio.
Yeah.
For those of you that may be listening in on the app and you want to laugh, listen to the first time I ever hosted a show here on Kayak Fishing Radio.
You sound so young.
Sound so young and inexperienced.
I have to tell you that I was looking at the stats for this year, you know, about all the shows, because the Losers actually, they kicked off the first week of January, so they did 51 live shows this year, and they had over 12,000 listeners live and podcasts for their first year.
Sweet.
And you just got above them. They're up and coming, man. You better stay hungry or they're going to take your slot. No. you got the prize for the most you got the prize for second most live listeners. The Losers actually kicked my butt all over the field when it came to live listeners. So they had over 2,000 live listeners last year. So did you, but you were just about 100 or so underneath them, I think. Couple hundred underneath them.
Yeah.
But, as long as we're in it for the fun, man, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, so. Closure just said, yeah, you're in it for the fun of it. And, you know, it's good to see the shows. It's good to see what we've gotten, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, truly. Would you say we surpassed 100,000 listeners?
We're almost there. We're not going to make it this year, but we're over 90,000 listeners. We started Blog Talk Radio, so that's the only metrics that I have is from Blog Talk Radio, but we started in December of 2010, and since then we've had almost 100,000 listeners, so we're over 90, I think we're at like about 97,000, something like that.
Yeah, it's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I remember when I would call in when you first started, and it was like right after you and Adam and Mark kind of figured things out. And Rob DeVore was on there, and I called, maybe like three of us in the chat room, and four of us in the chat room. You know, it was pretty quiet, and we just talked about you know, it was kind of humble beginnings. And, I mean, here I sit on Christmas Eve. I still got, you know, Steve Chapman, Mark Lozier, and Lenny sitting there listening to me having a lead in earlier and a couple of guests earlier, but... Yeah, what's he saying? Bring it. Mark Lozier's saying bring it. Oh, man, now he's now he's challenging me a little bit. Well, you know, if I paid all my friends like he pays all his friends to be on his chat room and his live base, then I'd probably be in pretty good shape too.
I want Steve to bring Mr. Sabeel out to the boondoggle.
Oh, Patrick Sabeel. Let me tell you something, man.
I think that guy is, like, off the chain.
That dude is awesome. That dude is awesome. I mean, just straight up, that guy is awesome. He is just a funny, funny guy.
We'll get him a kayak, and we'll turn him on to it. Next thing you know, he'll have special kayak fishing lures.
Yeah. Steve said he's working on it, by the way. Patrick is a huge kayaker. Yeah, he loves
it. Oh, really?
In fact, me and Patrick Sabeel talked a little bit. I believe it was at ICAST, just a little bit. And he remembered me from talking to him at Mosquito Creek Outdoors about kayaking and stuff like that. And he was telling me how he wants to get up and kayak fishing in the Mosquito Lagoon and the motor zone and all that kind of thing. So we'll see.
Yeah. Let's get him on.
Yeah, be cool. Get him
to the boondoggle.
Yeah. Steve, call in all the favors, man. Get everybody you know. Wouldn't hurt my feelings if, Lefty or Patrick Sabeel or any of those guys were to come by and hang out. Swamp Brothers. Yeah. I'm down. So I guess that's the throwdown though. The night was we'll have to see what happens at the end of he's giving you his phone number.
For the phone number. I got your phone number, Steve.
That's not Patrick's number.
Oh, that's Patrick's phone number.
Yeah.
It's Patrick's phone number. All right. We'll give him a call.
Yeah,
call him right now.
Chip's going to be giving him weird prank calls all hours of the night now. Thanks,
Lou,
Bucky.
Mr. Sabeel.
I'm a big fan.
No, we won't say that.
But I never do that, brother. But anyways, I guess that's the gauntlet that's been thrown down. We'll have to see, you know, next year, just late December, you know, where the numbers fall in there, Mr. Lozier.
Well, now, you guys...
Cool.
I didn't tell you what my numbers were. You guys got me beat for live listeners, but I've been around, so I've got you down for total.
I'm sure.
So I want you guys to start working on it. I'll tell you later.
All right, bud.
But I mean, we've had a great year here at Kayak Fishing Radio, and it's the best Christmas present. I mean, we don't. You know, you guys have your sponsors for your own fishing endeavors and stuff like that, but, I mean, Kayak Fishing Radio is run on its own, and it's been a great, great deal of fun, man. So I appreciate everybody being here. I like you guys. We'll keep doing it for another year. How's that?
We're pretty fond of you too, Chip.
My wife's like, they call you the Godfather? She was listening to one of the shows on the app the other day. She's yet to listen to a full show. But
yeah. Yeah, well,
yeah. I'm the old man.
He's the Godfather of the radio shows.
Right.
He makes everything click. He makes everything happen.
Yeah. So that'll be fun, man. We'll do it again for another year, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, man. Sounds like fun. Well, looking forward to it as always, and I wish you guys a very Merry Christmas, Chip. I hope you guys have a happy and safe holiday, and look forward to talking to you soon, bud.
All right, brother. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to everybody. We'll see you. Look at Steve's like.
Yep.
All right, man. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We'll check y'all out after. Actually, I'll be here on Thursday.
Cool.
Yeah. We'll talk about what we got for Christmas.
That sounds like a plan.
All right, buddy. Merry Christmas. Right. Merry Christmas. Hope your kids have a great morning.
Thanks, brother. So, Lozier, Merry Christmas to you, to Chris, the whole family, and Steve Chapman as well. And everybody listens to the show, whether it be a podcast or live show. Appreciate it. As always, all my Kayak Fishing Radio brethren, and then, of course, my Space Coast Kayak Angler family, and all my sponsors, Kayak by Bo, Jackson Kayaks, Orca Coolers, Tackle Webs, Captain Mike Ortigo, Bending Branches Paddles, YakAngler.com, and BloodyDecks.com. We definitely appreciate everything you guys have done for me over this past year. Continue to look forward to this upcoming year and building a great relationship with my newest sponsor there, Orca. Man, I'm so excited to be a part of that. It's going to be killer. And I'm going to leave you guys with my first ever show. But before I do that, let me hit the button. Yep, that button.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit YakAngler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Good night, everybody. God bless, and be safe out there. Take kid fishing. See ya. it going, everybody? This is Redfish Chuck on the new Monday Night Show. For those of you that don't know who I am, I'm Chuck Levi. I live on the space coast of Florida. I'm a kayak guide and also a tackle shop manager. I do all things kayak related, freshwater, saltwater, inshore, offshore. And joining me tonight on the phone is my good friend Rob, a bad back cast of ore. Rob, how are you?
Good, man. How are you? Good.
Doing good.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard the Kayak Fishing Radio Network gang of hosts that we have here, man. And your insight is definitely welcome to all kayak fishermen all over the world, man. So we're glad to have you on board.
No, I appreciate it, man. It's good to be here.
Chuck, just because you have your own show now doesn't mean that you can't call my show anymore. I mean, you still got to call my show too, you know.
Oh yeah, you know I will, buddy. So I'm gonna go ahead and just jump right into it. I did a little bit of fishing today, actually, and got out on the water for the first time in forever. And it was a pretty good day. Conditions weren't exactly spectacular. The wind picked up, and I had really, really dirty water in the Mosquito Lagoon, which is a little unusual. But I squeaked out a couple of redfish and lost a giant trout. Dee would have been proud of me if I'd have landed that one. But, yeah, it was a good day. Started off early, and I think Rob and I believe a couple of the other guys that came down and fished with us could attest to the fact that Mosquito Lagoon is referred to as Mosquito Lagoon for a reason. For sure. Well, I got out of the truck to launch the kayak, and by the time I hit the water, I had probably, I don't know, 300 or 400 mosquitoes buzzing around my head and around my legs, and I never got away from them until I was probably a good mile or so away from the west side there. So it was pretty crazy. But, so, Rob, did you get out and do any fishing this weekend?
Yeah, man. Actually, hit the Gandy really early on Saturday morning, and we were planning on going down and fishing some holes south of the power plant, but the wind was blowing, like, right in our face, and I didn't really, you know, by the time we were, you know, me and my buddy Keith, we were going to go down to the Demo Days event right there at the Gandy, so, you know, it would have taken us, and we were only going out to fish for a couple of hours and then going out staffing. And we ended up, so we just kind of paddled over to the power plant and kind of let the wind push us back. And caught a nice trout that shook off right next to the boat. I would have had to guess it was probably in the 18 to 20 inch range. And a couple of dink trout, about a 15 to 20 inch ladyfish, and I didn't touch a fish all day. They all shook off next to the boat, so that was my day. Keith caught probably a handful of dink trout and a couple of ladyfish, so it wasn't spectacular. It's summertime fishing, you know, in Florida.
They got out on the water. That's important, man, and they're clean releases. Didn't have to get all slimy, so
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, and we ran over to the Demo Days event, and that was pretty cool, and Keith took a couple of kayaks out, and we turned around and went back, went to Bill Jackson's and tried out a couple over there, and, you know, that was it, man. It was more of a kayak shopping trip more than a fishing trip, really. But, you know, there's other opportunities, and it's summertime, and, you know, it's Florida, so it was a good little trip. It got everything on, either a Miradine or a gold curly DOA curly tail on a 1/16 ounce J head. That's
You reminded me now that I forgot to tell everybody what I caught my fish on. It was funny. I was wanted to try something a little bit different, and I was looking through my bag of tricks that I have here at the house, and I found a bag of DOA jerk shads that I got from Mark Nichols back at one of the vendor shows, and it was a new color that he just come out with. It's almost, I don't even know what it's called. There's no sticker on the bag to let me know, but it's almost a like a pilchard color. It's like green. It's got flake in it. It's really kind of cool. So I was throwing that most of the morning and not being very successful until I moved over to the edge of a bar. There's a series of really nice sandbars that I tend to work at just outside this launch area over there at Beacon 42 in the Mosquito Lagoon. And I got over to the deep side of that one bar and made a couple casts. And sure enough, lo and behold, third or fourth cast, I got a nice little red fish, probably about 19 or 20 inches.
Nice.
Absolutely blasted the thing. Yeah, it was awesome. So I ended up throwing that for another probably 15, 20 minutes. And then I decided to go ahead and switch over to my old standby favorite from DOA, which is the Arkansas glow-colored paddle tail. And that's where I caught the remaining fish on and lost that big trout on. So it was good. It was really good. I got a couple callers on the line already. Area code 304. Who are we talking to?
It's Kayla.
Hey, Kayla. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Did you get out and do any fishing this weekend?
Yes, sir, I did. I spent most of my weekend, huh?
I was just asking how you did.
Well, I spent most of my weekend casting and then handing the pole over and then waiting for a bobber to go into the water and then, like, setting the hook and then unhooking fish and putting them back in the water. And that was a good time. The kids had a wonderful time. It was really good. But Saturday night, all the kids were at a dance. And I had some people come up and ask me if I knew anywhere around there that we could go do reel fishing. So I took them to the Sutton Dam, and it was quite a frustrating evening, but at the same time, it was a good night. I caught a 10-pound catfish on a 4-pound test, and that was a fight, like, unbelievable fight, and I had to fight it for, like, 5 minutes, and I was freaking pumped when I landed it. It was a very nice catfish. And caught it on a crankbait, actually. And I caught a small smallmouth and a small crappie on a jig. And then I had a crankbait on the top water, just zipping along, and had the greatest fight of my life. Like, I ran down these huge boulders and I was fighting this fish. My heart was like pounding out of my chest because I didn't know what it was, but I was assuming because of where we were that it was a huge hybrid. And I had 10 pound test at this point. And I fought this fish and fought it and fought it and fought it. Lo and behold, it was a damn muskie, like 45-inch muskie, huge muskie. And it just like flipped up out of the water and then went back one more time and broke my line, just snapped it. And I fell to the ground on the rocks. I had my head in my hands. And everybody was laughing at me, but it was insane. And then when I figured out that it was a huge muskie, like out of nowhere, and fighting it that way and not even getting to land it, it was devastating.
I would imagine so. But at least it sounds like you got out and put the kids on some fish. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did awesome. Yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Going back to the phones again. Greg Becker, how are you, sir?
Doing very well. Thank you, and welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio. It's great to have you on here.
I appreciate it, bud. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. Did you do any fishing this weekend?
Yeah, we did. Actually, Junior Fly Reel and I were all set up to go. As a matter of fact, we were loading the kayaks on Saturday morning when my job phone rang, and had a several-hour work-related delay, so we decided to go out Sunday. Sunday morning, we got out on Tampa Bay, Junior Fly Reel in the 10-foot Cobra Play, his first time out solo in a boat, and got out and paddled around for a few hours. And, let me see, he got bumped by a manatee. He foul-hooked about a foot-and-a-half-long needlefish, biggest one I've ever seen. I also lost one nice trout after having him on for about 10 seconds. It kind of LDR'd him. And that was about it. But we were able to get out. He had a good time paddling around, and he's definitely hooked for sure.
Oh, man, that's awesome, man. I can't wait till my kids are old enough to take him out. I think Trey's almost to that age where I can throw the life vest on him and get him out there on the water. And, you know, I was thinking about that today. It would have been a great day minus the mosquitoes. So... But,
yeah, you got to be careful. They don't hook them up, carry them away.
Yeah, really. Anytime you get out in the water around kids, or anytime you put kids in a kayak, or even just standing on the bank and bobber fish, or however you do it, just introduce them to the sport, man. It's so great for them. It occupies their time, gives them something to look forward to, and also too, it'll keep them out of a lot of trouble when they get older. I know it sure as heck did that for me. So that's awesome, man. Good deal. Another caller, area code 757. Who do we got? Hello, 757.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
It's Chad from Kayak Bass Fishing.
Hey, what's going on, Chad?
Not much, man. Pouring down rain here like cats and, you know, buckets and buckets of rain. Ridiculous. I just picked up the 2012 Ride 135, like the first one shipped in the country, and was all stoked about taking it out and having a picture of a fish up within hours of getting it, and we got like sideways lightning and Forrest Gump rain going on over here. We got rain coming up from the bottom, from the side, and I just did get a bunch of pictures taken before the bottom fell out, and we're gonna ride it out, and if it breaks tonight at about midnight, 1-2 o'clock, like it says it is, I'm gonna head out and go try to catch some striper and flounder, maybe some speckled trout, you know, see what happens. But I got the boat, and it's pretty freaking nice. I got a buddy of mine to come over and help me shoot some video, so we did like a video review of it, and that'll be up on the Wilderness Systems page, you know, day or so, but I got a bunch of photos I'm uploading right now.
Oh, very cool. So, yeah, I saw that. I saw the new ride. Somebody had taken some pictures of one of the first prototypes, and the thing was
really nice,
man. Looks like they've really improved it quite a bit over the since last year's.
Yeah, you know, I almost hate to say that just because the ride is a sick boat. Like even the current model, I hate to say the older model because it's still relevant, but yeah, man, there's a lot of differences, you know, and I'm pretty excited about it. I've been involved in most of the boat designs for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, but this is like the one that I've been, well, other than the Commander, this is the one that I've been like, oh my God, involved in from inception all the way till delivery. And I used to get the prototype test, like the last prototype, which always kind of sucked because it's like, yeah, that sucks. Oh, well, it's too late to change it, you know?
Right.
This time I got to do the full generational thing where we took Gen 1 out and complained about this and that and marked it up. And then we took Gen 2 out and complained about this and that. And then I was able to even get another pro staffer involved this time, a guy named Tommy Too Busy Samuels out of South Carolina, and runs Kayak Fish SC, and he brought a whole nother perspective to the game. We got some sales reps out and got them involved, and it was just cool. You know, we actually got one of the dealers to provide some input, and it was a good collaboration, you know, with what the sales reps hear people asking for at trade shows and demo days, you know, my experience as a fisherman, some of the other guys' experience as fishermen. So it's just, it's awesome, like, after you go through this whole process and you get the product and you get to look at it and you're like, oh, my God, that thing is so nice. And, you know, just to be part of that stuff is so cool to me. Such, like, a privilege, you know, to be able to get involved in that kind of stuff. And, you know, I would have never thought when I was scratching my head trying to figure out calculus formulas when I was in, you know, working on my degree for aeronautical engineering that it was going to actually pay me dividends for fishing, you know. But it has, and it's fun, and it's exciting, and the boat rocks, and I hope everybody enjoys it. I hope it quits raining so I can go fishing here in a little while.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've actually helped a few rod manufacturers develop some rods for our style of fishery over here on the east coast of Florida. And to talk about a product or to brainstorm with a couple of guys and just throw in your 2 cents worth is one thing. But when you actually get that product, like you say, in your hands or in front of you, and you realize that you basically gave birth to this idea, it is something special. That's the whole reason why I turned into just building all my own rods now, as opposed to buying a lot of production stuff. I still do on occasion pick up a production line rod here and there, but it's just that satisfaction you get out of knowing that you created that, or you had a hand in creating that, and then seeing how it performs out in the field afterwards is just that's incredible, man. That's awesome.
It's sick, ain't it? It's like,
yeah, sure.
It's the ultimate. It's the ultimate for me, because, you know, there's so much stuff that in the world that there are engineers that design stuff that don't use it, and you go, what were these guys thinking? You know, but when you actually get to get involved, and I can tell you, at Wilderness Systems, these guys have made a serious commitment to getting the guys out on the water. Like, I take the GM of accessories out kayak fishing. I take out the lead designer, who's a slalom paddling guy, and say, this is why the handles need to be flush, you know, on the side of the boat, because your knuckles bang it when you're paddling. This is why the bungees need to be facing backwards, because your line gets caught in that groove, you know. And when you take them out and you get to show them, they go, oh. And then when you're on the drawing board and arguing about a feature getting implemented into a design, they're a lot more receptive to it, because they've gone out and had it happen to them and realize how frustrating it is. So it just makes for a sick boat with a lot of the yeah buts removed from it. You know, we have really good boats. A lot of companies have really good boats, and there's those yeah buts, like, hey, it's a nice boat. Yeah, but it doesn't track well. Yeah, but it's not that stable. Yeah, but it doesn't have good drive storage. You know, all those things. So the more of those things you can remove from the equation, the better products that you got. And look, man, I'm going to tell you straight up. When I started this thing, when I started kayak fishing, there was like 2 boats on the market. And you could have any boat you wanted as long as it was one of them. And you could make any kayak fishing accessory you wanted to as long as you made it. Now, with all this competition, like, yeah, I'm a wieldy guy, but, like, I got friends that were with Jackson Kayaks and friends with Ocean Kayak and I'm friends with, you know, most of the people in the industry, like Diablo and Hobie and those guys. And when we start competing and the boats get one-upmanship better and better and better, yeah, there's a competition thing going on between the companies, but we're the ones winning. We're the ones sitting on the sidelines kind of snickering, going, ha, you know, we're getting the better products. We're getting the, you know, the ultimate fishing machines made for us, and that's the reason I do it.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man. And it's funny because, you know, I've been thinking about getting with the various kayak manufacturers that I've paddled and trying to see if there's any way I can get my hands in on throwing in my 2 cents as well. Currently I'm back with Emotion Kayaks. I don't know if anybody knew that, but I decided to tuck my tail between my legs, so to speak, and run back to Emotion. I was pretty happy with their product as it was, and you know, long
yeah,
story. But anyway,
and he's a good dude, the guy that owns,
Tom's a heck of a nice guy, and you know, everybody involved with Emotion that I've dealt with on a personal level, not including the business side of things, has been really, really good. But, you know, it's even like the grand slam for me, for my style of fishing, is is probably one of the better boats that I've paddled, because I do travel so far, and I do a lot of standing, and the boat is extremely stable. But there's a few, you know, subtle things with it that I'd love to change, you know, but until you get your hands in that kind of pot like you have, and,
do you know how far... Do you know the guys that do it at Emotion? Like, I can introduce you to them if you want, because...
No, that would be awesome.
Yeah, email me after the show at kayakbassfishing@gmail.com, and I'll make an introduction to a couple of guys that will get you involved in that process, because I know Eric Ferguson, who's like their national sales manager. I know him really well, and then Tom's a good friend of mine. So, yeah, I'll hook you up, dude. Because like I said, man, the more of us that are designing these boats, you know, guys that use it, guys that are out there making them better, you know, if nobody ever challenged Wilderness Systems, or nobody ever challenged Ocean Kayak, or nobody ever challenged, you know, Hobie, none of the boats would get better. You know what I mean? We'd all be still paddling Ocean Kayak Scupper Pro TWs. You know what I'm saying? Because that was the first boat I ever paddled. And I ain't going to lie to you, man. I got my ass handed to me in the surf several times in that boat, because it's not stable. It's stable for a sit on top back then, you know, because sit on tops were supposedly way more stable than the Ocean Kayak, you know, than the Sea Kayaks. But by today's standards, they're nothing. You know what I'm saying? Not like the Big Games and the PAs and the, you know, the Grand Slams and the Ride 135s and the Tarpon 160s and boats like that. There's no comparison, you know. So
yeah, I'll
not to belabor the point, but just let me know. We'll make the introduction. Get her going.
Cool. I appreciate that, brother. Yeah, I paddled a lot of different manufacturer stuff, and I can quickly, you know, tell with probably within the first 5 or 10 minutes of sitting in the seat how much I like the boat, because I, you know, try to stand in. It's usually the first thing I do, because I don't sit down very often. I think Rob and Aaron can attest to that. I do nothing but stand the entire day. I do a lot of push pulling, that kind of thing, and if the boat's not at least somewhat stable. And I'm not the most physically fit individual. I mean, I'm kind of a heavy guy. So if I can stand up in it and make
yeah,
it work, then then you know for a fact
that it's
stable.
I'm like the poster boy for anybody can do this crap. So that's the reason I don't think it had anything to do with my fishing or design abilities in the beginning. I think they just wanted a fat boy who could stand up in a kayak and, you know, that they could put in a poster that says, hey, anybody can do this. So I'm with you.
Yeah, that's funny. Let's see who we got in the chat room. We got Aaron, who never calls the shows. Aaron, how's it going, buddy? I see that you're going down the Keys. I think we're all jealous of you right now. We got Bill Green in the, or at least listening in. He's on the chat room as well. Bill Green, for those of you that don't know, is a executive producer with the Versus and NBC Sports Group with Producers Inc. I'm glad that you had the time to join us this evening. I appreciate it. Chip Gibson looks like he's logged out. He probably got knocked off because of the lightning. So, Rob.
Yes, sir.
You got any plans for this week as far as fishing after work or any nighttime fishing?
No, this week we're going off of Sankey. We got some pretty crappy morning tides, so we're going off of Sankey. Yeah, it's a little bit deeper water out there. And, dude, I'll tell you this right now. I got in the water the other day with a kayak, and it was like getting in a jacuzzi, man. Water temps are like 90 degrees. It's nasty. So we're going to get out there early and, you know, do a couple of hours. A lot of times, I don't know about you, but, you know, especially in the summer when I do morning trips and stuff, we, you know, it's by 10 o'clock, man, everything is history for the most part. So we got to get out there early, you know, first light, and by 10 o'clock we're done. And, you know, what I do the rest of the day, though, is I go scouting. And, you know, the scouting part of it is just as fun as fishing sometimes, you know. if it's a newer area or you want to expand your area, that's a good time to do it.
Yeah, it's the same over here right now, man.
That's the plan for this week. Huh?
I said, yeah, it's the same over here right now. The water temperature today, I can guarantee, was in the 90s. It was miserable. And I think that's probably the only reason why I found those fish. Even though it was early in the morning, and I mean like around 7 o'clock when I caught those fish, they were already off the flat. I didn't see one fish on the flat the entire day. And, you know, it just goes to show you how warm that water is. Now, something I did notice while I was out there, which was really kind of cool, I had never seen anybody do it before. I've seen people do it. Let me just tell you what it is. In our region, we used to have an abundance of clams, big Baker-sized clams. And with all of the development that's been going on over here in Brevard County, around the Space Coast area and stuff, we get a lot more fresh water introduced into the intercoastal waterway. So the salinity of the water's dropped quite a bit over the last, say, probably about 15, 20 years, which has depleted the clam population. I think down by D, down in Sebastian, you can still go down there and every now and again dig some up with your feet. But anywhere north of Sebastian, all the way from Titusville, it's pretty much a ghost land for that anymore. But in the Mosquito Lagoon today, I watched this guy pull up in the John boat, and he had a like real long stick he kept prodding the bottom with it, probably looking for mud. And he was in about 4 foot of water. He dropped his anchor over the side and just jumped in and started bobbing up and down like an apple. And I wasn't really sure exactly what he was doing at first. It was kind of weird. But I watched him slowly but surely load up his little basket. And as I paddled past him, I said, "Clamming?" He said, "Yep." And I said, "Nice." So I might have to get out there and give that a shot. I don't know about bobbing up and down like an apple in the summertime when the water's as dirty as it is right now. There's an awful lot of large bottlenose dolphins that swim around that area, and I know the bull sharks inhabit it as well. So, but you ever do any clamming or anything like that, Rob?
No, I've never done anything like that, but I noticed over the weekend it was the start of scallop season, and I know several people that were going out to do that, and I saw, what was it? I think it might have been a 10-gallon cooler or whatever. I'm not real sure what the limits are or what the said that they limited out in about 3 hours, and they had probably a cooler full that looked like about a 10-gallon cooler. So some people were having a pretty good time with it, man. So, but no, I've never been clamming. I don't know if we actually get those kind of clams over here on this coast. If we do, I haven't heard of them.
Yeah, one thing I definitely want to get over to your side and do a little bit of is go scalloping. I got some buddies of mine that just got back from over there, and man, they wore those things out. They were there for like, I think they were there for a full week, and got their limit every single day. So, yeah, I definitely want to do that. Craig Becker, do you ever do any scalloping or any clamming or anything like that?
No, they didn't have scallops and clams in those little freshwater streams up in New York. I did find some freshwater mussels every now and then to steam up with a trout and the coals alongside, but haven't gotten into it down here yet. So
very cool, very cool. Yeah, I'll tell you, it's definitely something that I thought about doing, especially out the kayak, because being that the kayaks are so versatile and most of them now being so easy to get in and out of, I don't think it would be much of an issue, especially on your side there, Rob and Greg, to anchor the thing up and just jump out and do a little bit of scalloping and come back to the kayak and load up and, you know, go on about your business. I am definitely going to take it down to Fort Pierce at some point during the lobster season and try and get some lobsters out of it. That's definitely one of my main goals for this year.
Nice.
So if anybody wants to join me, just give me a shout. I've got a couple of beach accesses that one of my coworkers, Josh, who is probably one of the best spear fishermen that I know of, that he's used before to swim out to some of the patch reefs. So could be interesting. Chad, do you ever do any, or do you guys have clams and stuff like that up there? Chad.
Who's that?
Do you guys get any clams, any Baker-style clams or little necks or anything like that up your way?
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's a couple of, there's no way to say it but to say it. Like, there's a couple of Asian dudes up here that I know that they don't even kayak fish, but they kayak clams.
they'll go out and they'll come back sitting on clams, paddling their kayak back in. So I don't know where they get them, but they come back and it looks like something off a Deadliest Catch, because they'll have the boat. It literally looks, when I say it looks like they're sitting on clams, I mean the kayak's gone. They're literally sitting on clams on the water and paddling in, and there's like no kayak because it's so heavy and sunken. You know, they're crazy, man. So yeah, there's somewhere you can get them around here. I don't know where. I've never really been big on the clamming thing. I did that bombshell turtle promotion out at ICAST, and the guy that invented that bombshell turtle's friends with the guy that lobsters off of the West Coast or somewhere, and this guy had pictures on his cell phone of ridiculous lobsters. He went down to the Keys and was catching these monster lobsters from his kayak. So somebody mentioned lobstering earlier. I haven't done the clam thing yet, but that lobstering looks pretty fun because that's like free diving and kayaking kind of mixed together. So I'd love to give that a shot. And I got his number and all that, so I'm supposed to try it. But never done the clam thing. You know, I don't eat them, and I don't fish a lot of bait, so it really has never been a big incentive for me. But I know the guys that fish for Tautog up here that go get the clams for bait, they know where to get them, probably just around the islands of the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. So I know a lot of guys that do it. I just have never gotten into it, you know. But it definitely is relatively popular up here in the Tidewater area, guys going out and doing it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, down here, especially on our East Coast, I know the Keys tends to have some big lobsters here and there, and if you've got some really good spots, I know a lot of guys clean up down there, but for the most part, I know the lobsters down in the Keys tend to be a bit smaller than what we get up here. I think it's mainly because they're not picked over quite as heavily. But my buddy did some scouting the other day down in Fort Pierce area, and, man, he found some giants. He found, I can't tell you how many that he tickled out from underneath the ledge just to look at them that were bigger than his dive tank. So there looks like there'll be quite a few tasty lobster dinners in my future, hopefully. So,
I can see myself doing that. You know, I grew up in Louisiana, so that ain't nothing but a big ass crawfish on steroids. So I'm game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just don't think I'll be sucking lobster heads. three or four. Is that you again, Kayla?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any freshwater mussels up there?
Yeah, but we're not allowed to eat them. We're not even allowed to take them out of the water, actually.
Really, they're protected?
Yeah.
Huh.
Plus, they're invasive, right?
Yeah, they're not really supposed to be here, but it's, you're not allowed to have them here. And maybe that's why. Maybe you're not allowed to have them because they're not supposed to be here. But
well, that's weird because down here in Florida, most of our invasive species, with the exception of the manatee, are fair game to be killed on site. So, like the snakehead fish and hog problem that we have down here.
Oh my gosh, I want to catch one of those.
The problem though with the mussels and stuff like that is that those damn things live and can reseed forever. So if a guy throws a bunch of them in the back of his truck and then ends up with a couple shells in his tank well and then heads out fishing, you know, he can reseed a whole area. If you fish Maryland and some of the areas in PA, there's reservoirs everywhere that you have to actually register a particular boat to that reservoir, and you're not allowed to fish that boat anywhere else or any other boat on that reservoir. It's crazy.
Wow, that is
crazy. They're starting to do things like that here, too. Like,
there's reservoirs that Jeff Little fishes that he actually has to dedicate a specific boat to that reservoir. And, as the pro staff director for Wilderness Systems, I'm always going, dude, I cannot do anything with a photo of a six-year-old tarpon. He's like, hey, man, that's the boat I got registered to that reservoir, and I'm not re-registering another one, you know. And then, I can't have more than one boat registered there, so it is what it is. I'm like, oh, roger that. So it's just not something I'm used to in the South, you know.
Yeah, that's insane. I don't know what I'd do if I had to register a kayak to each individual lagoon system or freshwater that we went to. But, Rob.
Yeah.
making sure you're still awake, buddy.
Yes, sir.
You into doing any free diving off the good old kayak there, or is that something you'd be interested
in?
Yeah,
I'll do that. I have a boatload of snorkeling gear and a shorty wetsuit that I'm sure that everybody's dying to see me in. And if that doesn't scare everybody off the beach, nothing will. But is that Fort Pierce spot? Is that where you were telling me where you can go, like right off the beach, and it just like drops?
Yeah, it doesn't even drop down deep. You're in 15 foot of water, and I mean, my buddy the other day only used dive gear because he wanted to stay down long enough to be able to really work over the ledges and see what was there. But most of the time, guys are just free diving it. In fact, I'm going to refer back to my buddy Josh. He's going to go down there for mini season. He's using a hookah, but again, for the same reason, just so he can stay down and not have to come back up again.
Now, we have up here. I haven't done the clams.
I'll do
that.
I can't go super deep or anything, but I'll go.
Yeah, I mean, 15 foot to me, nothing. I mean, I really want to try and get into doing some more free diving, some more, I guess, extreme stuff off the kayak and kind of try and leave the flats alone for a while. I want to take the boat and do the mothership thing and, you know, do a lot more exciting stuff. So,
yeah, we do that all the way. The Bay Bridge tunnels here goes spearfishing.
That's
something to do when it's so hot that everything else sucks. Oh, yeah. There's monster black drum here. Big, I don't really want to shoot a black drum because they're just big, retarded fish, but there's spade fish and flounder and all kinds of stuff that you can shoot. I haven't done it this year, but I did it several times last year with a good friend of mine. We mothership out and then use the kayaks to get right up against the rocks. And then that way we can leave the boat anchored for the entire tide swing and not have to reposition it and free dive for hours and shoot all kinds of stuff. We use a float line instead of having the catch or the keel attached to yourself. You use a float bag and you have it on your belt and it's got a clip and you clip the fish on it. And then when you pull the float out, you just let it go and it just takes it to the surface. And there's another float on the top that you drop an anchor line on before you go. That way you don't have to worry about getting entangled or having a bloody bag on your hip. We got a lot of big sharks in the Chesapeake Bay. People don't realize it, but it's like one of the biggest bull shark nurseries anywhere. And so I'm not scared of sharks, but I'm not a big fan of swimming around with a bloody bag on my waist. I was a rescue swimmer the first half of my career in the Navy, and I've seen enough sharks to know better than to tempt fate, you know? So
yeah.
But
that's funny.
It adds a whole nother aspect to your game, you know, to what you use the kayak for.
Yeah, my buddy Josh, he's got some crazy videos you guys should take a look at whenever you get a chance. If you go to Vimeo.com, V-I-M-E-O.com, and type in the search engine, Josh Ball Cobia, and just scroll through any one of those videos, man. The guy is an absolute basket case. He jumps in the water with, like, a dead bonito or a dead barracuda and chums bull sharks to him so he can shoot cobias off their back. It's kind of crazy. I'm trying to get him to do some kayaking with me as well, but he's more of the spear fishing kind of guy, so I don't know how much actual kayak fishing he'll do.
It's an adrenaline rush, man. Once you start shooting them, it's a different game. It's fun. You know, I ain't ever went bull shark. And I earned my name not right, like by rights, by doing crazy stuff, you know, jumping in the water with sharks and wrestling with gators and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But a damn bull shark is no joke.
Yeah, I'm not big on messing with bull sharks. They're a little bit too aggressive.
They're not a fun critter.
Yeah, for sure.
More power to them.
Yo, Rob. Yeah, check them out, man. They're really awesome. Rob.
Yeah.
Do you have any shallow like reefs or any shallow rock piles just off your beaches over the Clearwater?
Not off the Clearwater, no. That stuff is down south. There is one that they just dumped in the, it's really recent. They put those big, what do they call them? They look like giant concrete bowling balls in the intercoastal. They build a real nice, long fishing pier out to the intercoastal, and they dumped a couple of those big, huge, I forget, what do they call those things? God, artificial reef ball, whatever.
Tetrahedral? Yes, concrete balls.
I forget what you call them. They're big, giant, you know, probably 5 or 6 feet around concrete balls with holes in them and stuff. They just dumped a couple of those. That's like the only one that I know of offhand in the immediate vicinity. But they have some of those, you know, south of here, a couple of rubble piles around the Skyway and where the old bridge used to be. Those are about the only places I know of, anyway. Why, you got any plans for it? I don't know how water clarity would be there, man.
Yeah, that's just it. I know around Skyway and stuff, the vis isn't the best. No, I was just thinking that you know, if I ever make it over to that side and do an extended stay, maybe give us some other opportunities as opposed to wow, I'm reading Chip's thing in the chat room. As opposed to just fishing, you know, just normal fishing. You can go dive on something, maybe shoot some fish or something. But it's funny that,
yeah.
Chad, you were talking about spade fish because I noticed you guys, your sheephead, your spade fish, as somebody else had said, all your fish up there are like gargantuan compared to what we get down here. And that's awesome, man. Do you harvest any spade fish? Because we do down here. I don't know if you guys are into that.
Hell yeah. I catch them on jellyfish flies. It is the bomb. Like when everybody else is scratching their head trying to. Yeah, do you know what a mylar tubing is, right?
Yeah.
You take the same stuff they make like the rod sleeves out of.
Right.
I tie this fly where I put the mylar tubing over. So just imagine you got the hook and the vise, and you put the mylar tubing on it, and you just kind of do like a real quick thing with the bobbin to tie it down. And then what you do is you put a little dab of glue on there and you fold it inside out to where it makes a cone head, and then come back about a quarter of an inch from where you tied your original spot. And then before I start, I lay a couple of pieces of crystal flash and one piece of black flash that looks like that gut that goes down the middle of a little baby jellyfish. And then do what I just said, then fold it inside out and just trim it with your snips all the way around after you tie it off. And it makes that cone head. And it makes the little flare, like the flange, and then it has some little strings coming out of the back with the crystal flash and the one black, you know, vein with a little bit of weight inside it if you want it. Or you just use – I use the LC sinking line, and you cast it out. And I use the crystal mylar so that the tubing's got some flash to it. And literally it falls down, and when you pull it, because it's got that blunt head and that coned mouth, it, like, pushes water. But the water also goes through it so it doesn't spin because it's, you know, it's mylar tubing. And then I'm going to tell you what, the spade fish absolutely hammer that thing. They will hit it and miss it and keep hitting it all the way back to the boat until they, if you're stripping it trying to take it away from them, they will keep hitting it. And you can figure eight it at the boat until they finally eat it, you know, if you're not getting the hook up. Like if you're using a really big hook, because I use my hook as the weight. That way I don't have to, you know, do a bunch of craziness with, you know, weighting the keel or any of that so that it falls kind of even with the line so that the line doesn't fall real fast and the fly's, like, up, you know. And I'm going to tell you what, dude, they flat hammer that thing. And, you know, hooking into a 7 or 8 pound spade fish is like hooking a trash can lid because, you know, they know how to use that broad body and current to to their advantage. And
yeah, we target them
leader
here in the intercoastal. Yeah, they are. We
yeah,
target them here in the
super leader shellfish. Yeah, you go over 8 pound fluoro and you're not hooking them. So first of all, you got this crazy spastic fish that goes eight crap crazy when you hook it, and then on top of that, it's powerful. And then you've got to use really light leader to get. It's fun, you know. Don't get me wrong, I'll get a lot of crap for this from some people, but we like going out with like 4 and 5 weight fly rods and catching them on that because it's fun. And I only do that if I plan on harvesting them. If I'm going to release them, I'll use a 8 or 9 weight so that we can whoop them a lot quicker and get them to the boat. But man, I'm going to tell you, on a four weight, a 4 or 5 pound bait fish is like hooking into a freight train.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, we get them here in our intercoastal as well. We don't get them near as big as we do off the coast and out in the Atlantic, but we can target them around the bridge pylons and stuff like that here. But one of the videos you guys will notice, if you go to that Vimeo website and check out Josh's stuff, and I'm going to do some of it too out of the kayak this year, is when the thermoclines move in offshore, they'll cool the bottom off real cold. And most of those fish get pushed up in the water column. The first one to jump up there is the spade fish. And it's the cool part about it, not the spade fish, not that they're not cool or nothing, but the really cool part about it is the mangrove snappers come up off the bottom and follow the spade fish. And they think that they're invisible inside this huge cloud of spade fish. They make for pretty easy targets with a spear gun or just even hook and line. And you do every now and again pick up a big 8-9 pound spade fish on the rod and reel while you're trying to catch mangroves. But for the most part, they don't eat what you're giving out. I have to try that fly. If you could post a picture of that, either on yakangler.com or just email me a picture of that fly you're talking about, I appreciate it, man. I'd like to try and tie a couple of those up.
Yeah, just email me your address. I'll send you the recipe and a couple of them. Then you can break it down and look at it. I'm the master of, copying stuff. I like to come up with a lot of my own stuff, but I like to buy flies and dissect them and go, oh, that's how they did that, and then just copy it, you know? I ain't gonna lie.
That's how I learned how to tie most of the flies that I've done now is looking at flies that are prepackaged and either breaking them down and trying to figure out what I can tie differently but make the same, you know, the same body or whatever, with different materials I can use to make the same fly, make it work. But no, that's awesome. Yes, I definitely appreciate it. I'll definitely shoot you an email. Greg Becker.
Yeah, and if any of you guys are ever up in Virginia Beach and you want to go do a mothership trip, just give me a shout. We can go to the towers or the islands or, you know, any of the big structures around here. And that's big striper in the wintertime or all the summer species. The beautiful thing about the Chesapeake Bay is we are the northern range of the southern species and the southern range of the northern species. So we're perfectly situated to be in fish year-round, you know. So hit me up if you're coming to the area.
For sure. I definitely want to do some more traveling as the boys get older. So I did a lot of that growing up as a kid. My mom and dad, fortunately enough for me, were able to take us boys to all kinds of states, man. We did a lot of different little fishing trips and camping trips and that kind of thing. So that's definitely on my list to do with the little ones as they get older, is introduce them to as many different states and just, things as I can. It'll be cool. Greg, you going to do any fishing this week or weekend?
Yeah, actually, negative. I'm going to be out of commission this weekend and next, but due to a work commitment. But definitely looking forward to things cooling off a little bit by the time I get back, or at least maybe starting to, or at least looking like there might be a prospect of some cooling off sometime in the future. And also looking forward to getting over to the East Coast and hooking up with this guy I know and getting out and catching some real-sized redfish rather than the little bait I hear that are over here on the West Coast of Florida. So.
Yeah, man, you just need to let me know whatever day is good for you. I'll make it happen. Speaking of hot, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I know I got a lot of my local friends that are listening in on the show. I'm going to do a real quick weather forecast for the week for my area or for Central Florida. It looks like we're going to be typical summertime pattern. We're going to be in the low 90s all week long, and then we have the chance of rain. I think the highest chance of rain we're going to have is on Wednesday at 50% chance of rain. That's coming from my good buddy Tom Terry over at WFTV Channel 9 News. But, the summertime pattern, it's funny because, like I said, today I got out on the water and I wasn't expecting the flats to be quite as hot as they were. And I don't know if it's because we've been quite so warm, so constant. But with all the thunderstorms, that we've gotten over the last couple of weeks, I'd have thought that the water had been a little bit cooler than what it was. I know I talked to Dee briefly, and she was saying that down there the flats were over 90 degrees, or what she said, like 94 degrees or something like that, water temperature. And that's just incredible. That's just crazy. But I don't know what you can do, here on my coast as far as getting to deeper water and trying to really target some of these redfish. I've talked to a lot of guys that that target them this time of year with just using natural baits, and I'm kind of I'm kind of anti-natural bait. I really like to catch them on artificials, but it seems that at least over here, to catch any numbers of fish, you really have to kind of change it up and go to chunk baits or shrimp or something like that. Is it the same way for you guys over there, Greg?
Yeah, pretty much. That's what we wound up doing when we took the kids out on that trip, not last weekend, but I guess it was a couple weeks ago now. Time all kind of runs together. Couldn't do anything on Artie's. Couldn't do anything. There was nothing going on. And we wound up finally setting up on throwing some chunks of mullet and ladyfish out. And then the kids started picking up a few. The other guys caught the girls caught some ladyfish, or caught some reds, rather. And Junior Fly Reel picked up a nice 25er that that gave him a nice fight. We were out this past weekend, Sunday morning. It was a major. The morning tides over here are so screwed up, it's almost not worth going out. There's almost no moving water from before sunrise to noon. You know, it might fluctuate 4 or 5 inches one way or the other, it seems like, but there's really not a whole lot of movement. And it was a major from 8:30 to 10:30. And, you know, the only sign of it really was the fact that the osprey started working. And they had a big dolphin in working the shallows and pushing some bait around. But the mullet weren't active. The water temperature was, if not the high 80s, if not the low 90s, close to the definitely in the high 80s. I didn't have a thermometer with me, but it was bathtub warm. And I think if we had wound up staying out a little bit longer, it would have been, you know, chunk up a ladyfish and pitch a couple lines out and hang out and enjoy lunch in the boat while we're waiting for the drag to kick off. But there really wasn't a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
If I share a trick for that time of year? I guided in South Texas for 4 or 5 years, and, you know, 90% of the time when you get your business is when it's like that, when it's so freaking hot that it's oppressive almost. I use drop shot rigs as a more of like a flip shot rig, and target the fish that are laid up. You guys finding many fish that are laid up? You know, where they're not moving.
Yeah, fish that lay up in
Yeah, dude, I used to lay up in sand holes
and stuff.
I used to fish a drop shot rig and cast past them and drag it up to where it's just on the other side of them, and then let the lure fall down in front of them and twitch it. And downsize it like little grubs just on a circle hook, just something you could put in their face and irritate them into eating it. And that was one thing that was effective. But I'm going to tell you something. Everybody that I say this to looks at me like I'm crazy. It's one of my most effective redfish. And a lot of people know me as like the bass guy, but I fish for redfish like it's my job. One of my most effective methods for catching redfish when they're hard to catch, and I'll tell you this, you're still not going to do it. Most people still will not do it until they go with somebody that does it. Cincos. Fishing Cincos rigged weedless. Throw it past them and glide it in and just let it fall down and kind of, I don't know if you know how a Cinco wobbles on the way down. They absolutely can't stand it. When they're laid up like that, even wacky rigging it and just kind of twitching it past them, letting it fall in front of their face, they cannot stand it. You can even let it Texas rig a Cinco and let it fall into the pocket and just stand up where it's, you know, the tail sticking up in the air, and they'll swim over and pick it up and swim off with it after they've looked at it for a minute and a half. So, you know, for what it's worth, mostly what I do is just switch to nighttime fishing and throw topwaters and buzzbaits for them. But if you got a fish during the day, Cincos, man, Cincos are deadly on redfish, especially redfish that are hard to you know, it seems like the bite's turned off. They absolutely will crush it.
Well, that's what we got turned on to Haywood's Exude Gold Dart, very similar to Cinco. You can fish it the same way. And it's a lot of the same type of tactics. Like I used to use guy in New York for, you know, for laid-up largemouth. It's a very similar way to go. And I did have one rod rigged up with one of those on a drop shot type rig, again, pulling it through the sand holes. And they just weren't there. They weren't around the mullet. They weren't laid up. We didn't cover as much of the flat as we could have because it was my son's first time out with the kayak, and I didn't want to have his arms fall off and have to drag him back to the launch. But we covered a fair bit of ground, and the biggest thing we saw was paddling back the manatee that bumped the bottom of his boat swimming underneath him. But couldn't really find the fish. Not much going on.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
That's when I just switched the night on.
Yeah, I've done quite a bit of fishing with Senkos and stuff like that. When I was younger, my bass tackle box, I realized, quickly became my saltwater tackle box, and vice versa. I would use culprit, like, 7 or 9 inch culprit worms, fishing the intertidal for redfish and stuff like that. So I like Senkos especially for fishing underneath docks in the middle of the summertime. When I'm fishing docks, I tend to do pretty well with those.
Yep.
I like what you're saying, though, with the wobble. I think that has a lot to do with it. That's another reason why, like, the DOA Cal paddle tail, to me, as far as a dirty water condition lure, that thing is just nasty when you rig it weedless, and it not only does that tail really swim, really kick real hard, but, man, that whole body just shimmers. Like, it almost wobbles. It almost looks like it's not rigged right when it wobbles so hard. But, man, I'm telling you, I think a lot of times it can turn a fish on that's just laying dormant, like you say. So, cool. Good tip, man. I appreciate that for sure.
No problem. Do you guys fish nighttime much down there with topwater and buzz baits and stuff like that for reds?
Not really so much for redfish. We do fish a lot of trout at night. I'm sure that if we were to put in some time down here and kind of work the same areas that we work during the early morning hours, we probably do pretty good. But honestly, I don't know.
I'll tell you what.
Anybody.
On nights when you have an incoming tide, when the tide comes in after dark, meaning the water is not warmed up before it comes in, because, the shallower water warms up a lot faster. When the tide comes in after dark and you find areas where you have good falling tide bites, like where there's grass, and the flood tide really floods the grass, and you have a lot of shrimp and crabs and stuff. And then just as the tide starts falling out, all that stuff's getting drawn out of the grass, and the redfish and trout are working the edges. Man, I flat destroy redfish on buzzbaits and topwater frogs, believe it or not, that time of year. Like now, when it's a new moon, there's no light out, or approaching the new moon, and you've got the flood comes in after dark. So it brings in that cooler, deeper water from offshore into the flats after dark. So the water temperature is a lot cooler. Cumulatively, it was cooler because it's not sunny, and it's cooler because deeper water got brought in. And then you go out there, and like tonight, you might not launch until 2 o'clock in the morning, or 1 o'clock in the morning. But you'll have it to yourself. There'll be no boat traffic. There's no avian predators like ospreys and eagles and, any of that other stuff. And the fish just absolutely go nuts. I've had redfish, running into my boat repeatedly, just run into it like I'm not even there, chasing mullet under the boat, chasing shad up into my lap. And you can almost cane pole them. You can throw a lure out and jig it around in front of the nose of your kayak in a figure eight and just watch them demolish it. It is just amazing, amazing. Fishing.
That's awesome.
I'll
definitely have to give it a shot and try it out and see how it works here. I imagine it'll work just fine. I know we do a lot of the figure eight and stuff like that here for snook as well at night around docks and things like that. And I know big trout really respond well. If you can't get them to turn onto a bait, if you just drop it in front of their nose, as you say, and really kind of aggravate them with it, I tend to get a lot more bites that way. But, man, good tips tonight, I'm telling you. I appreciate everybody listening. I know it was a little rough for the first show, but I'll get better, I assure you. Getting the first show nerves, jitters out of the way. But listen, this week, guys, tune in the rest of the week. We've got shows, it seems like, every day of the week. I don't know the status of Friday's potential show yet or not. Maybe Chip can say something in the chat room about it. But tomorrow we've got Rob Bad Backcast DeVore, who will be hosting the 8 o'clock Eastern show. And then again at 10 o'clock at night, we will have Isaac the Nothing Miller. For those of you guys over on the West Coast, that'll be a
That'll be 10 p.m. Eastern time for Isaac. That guy's a living legend over there, so for sure tune into that if you guys want to hear about catching all those crazy West Coast fish. And then Wednesday we've got at 8 p.m. we got Mark Landing Crew Wheeler, who's tends to be doing a whole lot of bass shows lately, which is really cool. So anybody into bass fishing or getting away from the salt a little bit, and he does both, but lately it's been a little bit more about the freshwater, which is really neat. That starts at 8 p.m.
Yes,
Eastern on Wednesday. And Thursday night, of course, the godfather himself, Chip, the tree hugger, Gibson. Yep, he'll be hosting a show at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday, which is the round table. Kind of a really cool get on there and just chit-chat about whatever. We've talked about all kinds of stuff on that show, so that'll be cool. And again, I don't know what's going on with the Friday show, if it's been scheduled yet or not, but we'll see. But final thoughts, anybody? Anyone can get out and try and do any fishing at all this week? Nope.
I'm fishing.
For Chad, being a fish.
Hell yeah. I'm fishing. Pretty much every day that I can. I'm striper fishing at night, red fishing during the day, or bass fishing during the day. I've been killing them on this bombshell turtle, so even when it's hot, because the thing just falls and undulates, like, vertically. It looks like a little crab, too. I've been catching redfish on it. So, and you guys want to try them out, send me an email, and I'll send you some for dialing into the radio show. We got them at Hook One as well. And then, hey, I want to throw a plug out there. We're doing a thing that we do every year on Kayak Bass Fishing Tonight called Christmas, the KBF Christmas in July. I do it to raise money for Hal. I also do it to promote our sponsors and give away a bunch of stuff. So we got about $4,000 worth of stuff. Some of it ain't even been released on the market yet, like some of the Yak Attack stuff and some of the new lures that are coming out from ICAST that I twisted the company's arm to give me, to commit some to me, and I would, you know, throw them out there into the kayak community. So, you know, if you ain't got nothing else going on, stop by kayakbassfishing.com. There's a top post on all the forums that's a global. It's called Christmas in July. It's a pretty unique format. Don't plan on getting any sleep tonight, but it's really cool. A lot of good stuff being given away for a pretty good cause. So if you got nothing else going on, stop by kayakbassfishing.com and check that out.
Yeah, and another thing too, guys, Chad's doing some really cool stuff with the Heroes on the Water program. He's donating. Are you still doing that? You're still doing the...
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Challenge Series.
Go ahead and tell people about
special
that.
Special campaigns. Well, what the Challenge Series is it's basically, it's a catch, photo, release tournament series where you can fish anytime you want to, pretty much anywhere you want to, and you catch, right now it's mostly bass, but we have a good saltwater series going on, redfish and trout, redfish and flounder, and a lot of redfish on redfish challenges where it's just multiple redfish, two redfish combinations, things like that. But we're giving away kayaks and paddles and PFDs and G-Lumis rods and, you know, landing nets. And, I mean, nothing's cheap, though. It's all quality stuff. It's, you know, G-Lumis GLXs and Shimano Core reels and, you know, sustains and Stratix. And, you know, it's a pretty good deal. We give away, you know, somewhere between $5,000 and $8,000 worth of product a month. A significant portion of the proceeds goes to Heroes on the Water. The other significant portion goes to buying the stuff to put back up there and paying the bills to keep the lights on. And then eventually one day I might make something on it, but that hasn't happened yet, you know. So, you know, just check it out. It's cool. You know, it's you get to fish in a tournament 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know, anywhere, anyway, anyhow, as long as it's artificials. I don't allow bait, you know, kind of like what Chuck alluded to. I'm not a big bait guy, you know, not an ego thing. I just don't like, in a tournament format, incentivizing people to catch something that they make gut hook and then release and then gut hook and then release. And, you know, so I just try to stay away from the artificial, I mean, stay away from the bait for those things and make it artificial only. So, you know, whether you catch redfish or bass, we've got something for you right now. We're adding, you know, new species all the time. So just go to kayakbassfishing.com and click on the
image on the top right or on the challenges button for a list of rules and entries and all the different challenges that are going on. So, you know, it's pretty cool. The one we got going on now is based on points, and it's weighted for all over the country. So you can catch a 20-inch fish in Rhode Island and beat out a 25-inch fish in South Texas. So, you know, it's a really cool deal based off of an Angling Masters International calculator. So, you know, check it out when you get a chance.
Yeah, very cool, man. I appreciate you calling in tonight and dropping some information on us and some new tips and techniques. That's pretty cool, man. Definitely appreciate it. Guys, also, too, there's a new fishing show, as Bill Green just put up, on Versus, Lip 'em and Rip 'em. Hopefully we'll get Lefty Larson, who was the host of that show, to call in here in the next couple of weeks. That's another thing I'm going to try and do a lot of as well. I've got a lot of really good relationships with folks in the industry, as Chad does as well. And I think in the next 2 weeks or so, I'm going to have a couple of really cool guests coming on. So keep your eye out on Facebook. If you're not a friend of mine on Facebook, you know, hit me up. And, you know, as always, get out there and be safe, man. That's the most important thing. Be safe. Make sure that you let somebody know where you're going and when you're going to be back and where you're launching from. And make sure you wear your PFDs at all times if you can. Let's see, what else? Let me cover some other things real quick before I get off the phone. I got nothing. I got nothing. I used up all my energy just trying to make it through an hour. So, listen, guys, I really appreciate everybody listening in. Having 15 people online live listening to me was really cool, man. I appreciate that. And having the guys in the chat room, and Chad, Greg Becker, Rob, a bad back castivore. Always a pleasure talking with you, my man. I look forward to talking to you guys again next Monday, same time, same place. Let's get out there, take a kid fishing, and let's just, you know, have a good time. Talk to you guys later.
Yeah, good job, brother. I enjoyed it.
Well done.
Thanks,
y'all. Have a good one. Later.
Redfish Jock.